The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's December the 5th, 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, Brazil says it will do more to cut tariffs if and only if the U.S. and Europe will do more to cut ag subsidies. And sources on Capitol Hill say it is highly unlikely the reconciliation bill will be finished before the year's end. And Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later this half hour. Have you signed up for the U of I's Crop Protection Technology Conference? It's held in January here on the U of I campus. I'll host the opening and closing sessions of that premier ag event of the winter meeting season and tell you more about what you can expect to find on this year's program a little bit later in this half hour. Hey, and don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at 304 and a half, up a penny. The March contract at 320 and a quarter, they were up a half. The Kansas hard red winter wheat for the December contract finished a penny higher as well at 367. From the corn pit in the Board of Trade, December contract at 193 and a half, up 3 3/4. March futures at 206 and 3/4 were up 3.5 cents. In the May corn at 215 and a half, up 3 3/4. December contract at 242 and 3/4, up 3 3/4. January soybeans, 573 and a quarter. They were up 10 and a half today. The March contract at 579 and a half, up 9 cents. And the May futures at 583 and a half were up 8 3/4. November contract at 593 and 3/4 were up 6 3/4. December bean meal, 175.60, up 180. December bean oil at 21.66. They were up 37. From the Mercantile Exchange, January feeder cattle at 116.37 and a half were up 30 cents, and December live cattle at 92.85 were down 17 and a half cents. December lean hogs at $63 even were up 20 for the day. One other note on the meeting season: tomorrow at the Beef House is the Bi-State Crop Production Meeting. It's sponsored by University of Illinois Extension and Purdue University Extension. And Dave Dickey, along with Paul Cooley, Clayton Pope, and Chuck Shelby will be on hand at that meeting at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. That's 12:30 if you live here in the state of Illinois, to take a look at what's been happening in the marketplace. It's the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, the Bi-State Ag Production Program. And Paul Cooley, Clayton Pope, and Chuck Shelby will be on hand, along with your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the radio stations, Dave Dickey, to take a look at the marketplace. Be sure to drop by there if you have the opportunity.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Pretty good up day in the Chicago Board of Trade for the beans. They were up 10 and a half cents in the January. Next year's November were up 6 3/4. I read that it was primarily index fund buying. Can you confirm that?
Well, it's tough because the index funds themselves are still classified as commercials and as a whole, funds in general bought 4,500 contracts. I think it was more than that, and I do believe the index funds were buying. It's been well advertised. They shift some allocation of funds from different sectors into the grains, up in their ownership of another percentage point or two. And we saw them and the funds both. We went above some resistance level, of trips and buying. January beans met its 50% retracement level back to the 75 area. Next area to watch would be just above that, in this 80 to 85 area. That's when your longer-term moving averages come in, such as your 40 and 50-day moving averages. Also, your 62% retracement comes in there, too. So we're going to start running into some resistance, fairly heavy resistance in the jam beans. if we muster move on through the 75 area.
Farmers will be watching with interest for the beans, though it's probably doubtful that they'll open bin doors at any time soon for that crop.
Well, the people we work with will. You know, it's been our plan from day one to target this first part of December to beat the rush here as we go in the month in. I think it's very critical as a producer to keep an eye on the market this week. You can watch the board. The board's going to make you feel a little richer, but I think got to watch the cash mark. On the way down, the futures led the way down as the cash held in there. As the narrowing of the basis, I think basis is going to widen from here on out. So I think it's very critical to try to get some more cash grain sold this week. If you wait past this week, you probably might not have an opportunity to sell much higher until you get into March.
And then turn your attention to the corn market very quickly, where the corn was up 3¾ cents in the nearby December. Of course, it's an expiration, the March. For all intensive purposes, really the lead option at this point, 206¾. They were up 3½ cents. March looks like it's going to hold above $2 to you.
Yeah, you know, we can probably get up in this 210, 212 area. That might be enough for now. Both the beans and corn had weekly price reversals to the upside here, so we can sort of test the upper end here and see how much we can squeeze out. A year ago, the July futures rallied from this 1st of December into 1st of December in through December. Corn bounced 8 cents and beans rallied 34 cents. And I imagine we're following that same type of trend here. We can firm up here for a minute or two. But once the calendar rolled into the new year, we drifted lower into February. Then a year ago in February, 1st of February, we established some pretty solid lows, and then index funds came in buying a year ago, and then rust and weather concerns in the southern hemisphere hit, and we saw beans rally $1.90 and corn rally 30 cents. But for the most part in here, the momentum has shifted up and through here, and the spread unwinding of the between the corn and the wheat and corn and other commodities should give the corn a little support here for a day or two.
But are you looking to make corn sales as well?
Yes, I think as a producer, you got to be a seller here this week in corn, beans, and get to where you want to be prior to year end. Because as we visit with producers clear across the Midwest, there's just a ton of grain that's going to need to be priced here. And I think it's critical to get your foot in the door here, because there's going to be a pickup and movement here as we close out 2005 and start 2006.
Year pricing for delivery when? January, March, July?
Well, that's a good question. It just depends on each individual. You know, commercial storage, you know, you don't want to pay more carrying the grain over, so you just push the pencil on it and ask what the bids are. There's still a little carry in the marketplace, and for on-farm storage, you know, you can venture on out a little further. But for commercial storage, you sort of got to ask, call and find out where you're at and to sell for what you can pick. You know, if you pick up a couple cents here and a couple cents there, that's not a bad strategy.
So you're assuming the LDP has been taken at this point and you're making a cash forward sale.
Correct. We've promoted LDP, you know, most services, you know, starting in this mid-30s, clear up to the highs of, you know, just over 48 cents. So, yeah.
And so are you recommending replacing this, or are you done at this point and then coming back maybe later at some time and looking for a replacement on paper?
You can do that. I think if you do that, we can do that in February.
That's kind of what I was asking. Whether you were just going to have them make the sale, call themselves evened up, and be done for the moment. And you know, I understand that from your side, you've got to take a look at it and wonder if there's an opportunity to get back into the marketplace. But I wanted to see if you were thinking that if they make these sales, that they're done, they're evened up with the crop at the moment, and then they come back in later.
For winter cash flow needs, I'm not officially recommend sell 100% because the farmer won't do that right now, but I think you need to sell at least, you know, half of what you have. Then we'll look at the replacement, but we got to get stuff sold here because we need to be selling 2006. And when I call guys up, I call, you know, 100 guys up, say sell 2006. They go, Kurt, what do you mean? I still got 2005 or 2004.
That's right.
So in our marketing, we got to get the 2005 squared away here so we can start selling some 2006.
You're selling 2006 corn. You're selling 2006 beans, too?
Yeah. I think if you look at a long-term chart and from a marketing perspective, D06 corn around this 250 area and these Novi 06 beans is $6. you know, that's, you got to get started there. If we have favorable weather this next summer, we're going to be back in the same position we are this year.
And turn your attention to the hogs and the cattle for me from the Mercantile Exchange. Down day for the cattle.
Yeah, just fractionally lower here for say. Still tried by time. The market continues to find support on ideas that we're going to open up more business to Asia here. The problem is, as we keep looking at the weights, we're looking at heavier weights coming on here. Guys are feeding stuff heavier here, cheaper feed inputs, per se. Also, too, the weather is starting to wear out here. We've had our so-called first weather rally on snow last week and cold weather this week. But overall, packer margins, when you look at what the guys are working with, they're starting to eat away here. So questionable whether or not we're going to get that 94-cent trade in the fat market or not. In the hog complex, we're looking at heavier weights here. We're still looking at some good kills here as far as cutout values go. They're still making some money, but as the calendar turns 2006, I have to question how much more strength the pork complex can have in them.
Kurt, we appreciate you being with us today.
Hey, enjoyed it, Todd.
Yeah, Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Monday afternoons and Monday mornings on the Opening Market Report.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
At the bottom of the hour, a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's own Ed Kieser says across the two-state region tonight, the skies will be mostly cloudy. There will be some scattered snow showers, a few flurries. Lows this evening will range from near zero in far northwestern Illinois to 20 in the far south. Tomorrow, Ed says, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, scattered flurries, highs ranging tomorrow from 10 in far northwestern Illinois to 38 in the far south. The extended forecast for Wednesday in far northern Indiana, mostly cloudy skies, some snow showers. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. And Thursday, mostly cloudy with areas of light rain and snow, especially in southern and central sections. Dave Dickey is here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, finance ministers from the G7 group of nations met Friday evening and Saturday for a weekend summit in London. At the meeting, Brazil announced it is willing to cut non-agriculture industrial tariffs more than it had previously offered if the U.S. and European Union improve their offers to eliminate agriculture subsidies, shrink the number of sensitive products with special protection, and lower agriculture tariffs in general. But the U.S. gave no indication of how it would respond, and there were signs of bitter disarray among EU members. The offer exposed fresh divisions among European countries, with Britain speaking out in favor of the new cuts in European farm support, and France denying there was any change in the EU position. And now the American Farm Bureau Federation believes there will not be an agricultural deal in Hong Kong. Trade lobbyist Dave Salmonson says the best outcome is an agreement for further talks in 2006.
It was not the best outcome that there was a decision not to press for the full modalities, which means the formulas to move ahead on the ag negotiations. But if there is a commitment to keep doing this, to set up a time frame to do this early in 2006 in order that the talks can be wound up by the end of 2006, then that will be positive.
The G7 includes Britain, the United States, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, and Japan. On both sides of the ocean, new reports are criticizing U.S. and EU subsidies. The Cato Institute, which represents the opposite end of the political spectrum from Oxfam on most issues, released a report by Professor Daniel Sumner of the University of California. He claims that U.S. farm programs for nearly all commodities are in direct violation of WTO obligations and that may have a significant depressing effect on world commodity prices. Sumner calculates that U.S. subsidies alone depress world corn prices by 9-10%, wheat prices by 6-8%, and rice prices by 4-6%. And the United Kingdom Treasury said in a paper released Friday that the EU's common agricultural policy fails to meet Europe's needs, draws international criticism, and that all production subsidies need to be eliminated within the next 10 to 15 years. Capitol Hill sources say it is becoming increasingly unlikely that Congress will complete work on a budget reconciliation bill before adjourning for the year. And some Hill insiders are now speculating that the differences are so wide that the entire reconciliation process could fail. Minnesota Congressman Colin Peterson, ranking member of the House Ag Committee.
They got some real problems between the House and the Senate. It looks to me like a bill that can pass the Senate cannot pass the House and vice versa. So in the end, this thing may not happen, but we'll see. We're going back on the 5th, and they've got a couple weeks to try to get that done.
Still, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist of Tennessee says he's optimistic Congress can complete its budget-saving package before adjourning for the year. Frist says a retreat of GOP leaders last week made him hopeful conferees can come to an agreement. The budget reconciliation process will not impact voluntary conservation programs. Ag Secretary Mike Johanns has released $2.7 billion. The fiscal year 2006 allocations include nearly $1.4 billion for the Natural Resources Conservation Service voluntary programs and almost $1.3 billion for technical assistance. Illinois producers will receive $58.4 million. Indiana farmers get $48.9 million.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, up next, the University of Illinois 2006 Crop Protection Technology Conference is scheduled for Wednesday, January the 4th, and Thursday, January the 5th, at the Illini Union, right here on the U of I campus. We'll hear more about the premier agricultural conference for agribusinesses. Along with updates on the latest developments in crop protection, the 2006 version of the long-running Crop Protection Technology Conference will feature an opening session with an overview of 10 years of transgenic crops and a closing session on the future of integrated pest management, says organizer Mike Gray.
It's hard to believe that 10 years have elapsed since we saw BT corn for corn borer. And now we know, of course, there's a lot of interest and excitement about BT for corn rootworms. We've all witnessed the remarkable use of Roundup Ready soybeans over the last several years and watched that increase. Bruce Chassie will give us his thoughts on where we are now, look back, but more importantly, a look ahead with regard to transgenic crops.
This U of I conference has been held annually since 1949, says Gray, undergoing three name changes. It focuses on the proper, timely, and wise use of crop protection products to serve both agriculture and the environment.
We try to really make sure we address topics that are of key interest, that are, you know, pertinent issues, important issues that speak to the bottom line of those in attendance. So we think it's a conference that's always right out there on the edge in terms of what are some of the leading issues. We bring in the top-notch speakers to address those issues. And I think for that reason, we have continued to maintain a very loyal audience through the years.
The pre-registration fee for the U of I's Crop Protection Technology Conference is $120. Registration after December the 16th or at the door will be $150. Special rates at participating hotels in Urbana-Champaign are available for those attending. Participants will receive a copy of the proceedings at the 2006 Crop Protecting Technology Conference. Certified Crop Advisor credits will be offered as well in the following areas: crop management, pest management, soil and water management, and nutrient management. Registration and program information are available by calling toll-free at 800-321-1296 or by visiting www.ipm.uiuc.edu. Just click on Conferences. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For more information, call 866-837-9027.
Time now for our look at the cash grain market. We're joined by the folks at the Andersons here in Champaign County to do that. Good afternoon to
you. Good afternoon.
Hi, Wyatt. How are you today?
Not too bad at all.
Wyatt Muse works with the Andersons. Tell me about cash grain movement in the Champaign County and East Central Illinois over the last week and what farmers have made of the lows last week.
Well, it's very good news on prices. We're up on our basis as well on the board. Nearby corn was up 3 3/4 and our basis also improved 4 cents already this week, so our nearby bid is already up 7. Our bean bid also improved by a penny on basis and 10 cents on the board. So this is good news, trying to get some price recovery after the harvest, post-harvest lows.
This is rather interesting. Did the cash grain folks that you talked to around the Midwest talking much about a wall of corn coming due in January or March and whether producers will be active enough in this month to try to capture some of what I suppose some are considering a better than predicted price in those 2 months?
Yeah, we're seeing a little bit of a bounce, and I have a feeling that the grain that we see move through January is going to be more so on bushels that were contracted well ahead of time. I think that people that have stuff in the bin at home or maybe in commercial storage are going to hold off yet until the spring and see about a spring rally. I don't necessarily see that we're going to see a large amount of movement over the next 30 days.
On that front, there was a lot of discussion that farmers really did put a great deal of this crop away and lock the bin doors. The elevators, of course, are full. Will the processors be in need of corn in the next 30 days, given the idea that farmers probably won't be moving it through the marketplace?
Well, just depending on where the processors are at and what they did throughout the fall, there was a lot of opportunity to buy cheap corn throughout the fall, and if there was enough storage nearby to do it, then the processors were able to. A lot of it tended to move away from here at those cheap values. They're able to put it on trains and send it to some of the chicken feeders or other faraway markets.
And then your bids for the day look like what?
Our cash corn's $1.97, cash beans $5.69.
Wyatt, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you much.
Wyatt Muse is with the Anderson. Somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Monday afternoons. A couple of things to keep in mind. If you like to listen to this program, but once in a while don't manage to pick it up off the air signal, you can always visit our website at WILL.UIUC.EDU. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. There you'll find all kinds of information on agriculture and almost all of the programming that we put up on the air signal, and you can listen to that as a real audio file or an MP3, or if you prefer, you could sign up for our broadcast, and our podcast, rather, of Commodity Week in the Closing Market Report, and have some of that material delivered directly to your computer automatically. That's at WILL.UIUC.EDU. Just click on AM. And then agriculture. The other very important note to make about the website is that you can sign up for our weekend newsletter there. I think once you've taken a look at that newsletter, you will like it and you will stay signed up for the duration of its run. And we don't have any ideas that will end anytime soon. So sign up for that newsletter as well. Also, if you would prefer not to get the newsletter, there is a way on the website right below where you sign up to take yourself off the subscription list. Coming up, we'll take a look at the newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Illinois Congressman Tim Johnson announced today he's ready to run for a fourth term. He made his announcement to a meeting of the Champaign County Active Senior Republicans in Champaign. Johnson says he's tried his best to represent the interests of all his constituents in the 15th District. But some of the Republican seniors hearing his announcement were critical of his vote against opening the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling. Democrat David Gill of Clinton, who ran against Johnson last year, also plans to run again in 2006. Tazewell County State's Attorney Stuart Umholtz is running for Illinois Attorney General. He says if elected, he would work with lawmakers to increase the number of parole officers and beef up county probation services to keep tabs on convicted sexual predators. The president of the Illinois Farm Bureau says next year may be a challenging one as discussions begin about the 2007 Farm Bill. Speaking at the Farm Bureau's convention in St. Louis, Philip Nelson said one of the main concerns is that farm funds will be hurt due to other big issues, including the federal deficit and costs associated with the war in Iraq. Nelson also says the Illinois Farm Bureau plans to convene a task force early next year that will try to stoke profitability among farmers in Illinois. He says the panel will study how farmers can best handle an industry challenged by low commodity prices and rising costs for fertilizer and fuel. Indiana State Police are dropping their requirement that would-be troopers have some college education. Under the change, which is intended to help the agency's recruitment efforts, troopers will only have to have a high school diploma or to pass an equivalency test. A spokesman for Subaru of Indiana says news reports that Fuji Heavy Industries has agreed to build up to 100,000 Toyota Camry sedans a year at the Lafayette plant are not correct. She says Fuji and Toyota officials are in talks, but have signed no deal. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. This is your agricultural information advantage. Meteorologist Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago joined us now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Mark, it is cold, and it's going to stay that way, apparently.
Yes, Todd. Here over the next few days, pretty much from now through Friday or through the end of the work week, we're going to see very cold temperatures, not only here across Illinois, but really the entire central and eastern U.S. from the plains all the way eastward to the East Coast as this pocket of very cold Arctic air, even some origins of Siberian air mixed in with it, will be encompassing and flowing east and south across the central and eastern U.S. So between now and Friday, expect temperatures as much as 10, 15 degrees below normal. In fact, numerous mornings here with low temperatures below zero.
Of course, when we get the very cold temperatures, we always like to talk about snow cover for the winter wheat crops. How are we faring, and are there places that could be in potential for winter burn?
Well, Todd, we don't see any kind of temperatures that would cause concern across the plains' hard red winter wheat belt. We see snow cover extend southward through Nebraska and in the parts of northern Kansas. And the real cold temperatures, though, are going to be those areas that have snow cover. And that's kind of one of the reasons why the very cold temperatures there are going to be over the snow-covered areas. That is because those snow-covered areas, they are limiting, actually reflecting and refracting incoming solar radiation there from the sun. So as a result, at night, we're going to see near-perfect radiational cooling conditions, and that allows temperatures to rapidly drop off. So those areas that get below zero are going to have snow-covered areas, so protection of the winter wheat crop. Now, for those areas down south, like Oklahoma, Texas, that have no snow, they will see warmer temperatures, so we don't see really any kind of threat here of winter burn.
So far this season in South America, things have kicked off very nicely. Any change in the last week?
Not at all, Todd. They continue to be in good shape across Brazil. Some areas of southern Brazil did not see much rain over the past week or so, but that actually changed today with explosive thunderstorm development across southern Brazil. And then across Argentina, we had one lone dry pocket there in the southwest that missed out. They got their rains over the past week. So at this stage of the game, with planting of corn and soybeans beginning to wrap up across that area, soil moisture reserves are in very good shape.
Mark, we appreciate you being with us today.
You're welcome, Dad.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoons. Don't forget to tune in again tomorrow morning at 8:49. That for our pre-opening market report. And remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, and the weather right there on our website. Just go to WILL.UIUC.EDU. And as always, click on AM and Agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a very good afternoon.